Welcome, friends. This is James Corbett, and you are tuned into CorbettReport.com on the 25th of April, 2012. It is Wednesday, and that means it is time for our weekly conversation with none other than the international forecaster, Bob Chapman of theinternationalforecaster.com. So, Bob Chapman, thank you, as always, for gracing us with your presence.
Well, thank you for having me. Things seem to have lulled down in the marketplaces, and announcements coming out of Europe have been few and far between. I guess yesterday's announcement that Holland has to get a new government probably by September, October. But they don't know yet, really. Incidentally, we predicted that would happen there, as we had talked to people in politics there, and they told us what was going to go down. This episode, in the short and the long term, the reflection of problems in Holland is very serious. They're one of the bulwarks of the Europe and the European Union. And so what was being said by the two center parties who couldn't come to an agreement was, we really don't want to cut anything. That's really what it amounted to. And now the public has seen what they were up to, they're lying, and, you know, like all typical politicians. And so I think they're going to have a gigantic problem trying to continue to come with further funds for the bailout countries. And who knows, they might even back off on what they've already committed. And the reason I say that is that the debt that they've accumulated since they were 3% of GDP, they're now 4.6%. All that money went to the countries that can't support themselves. And so this may be a dead end here. That may be over here. This may be the beginning of the end of the euro. Never mind what Greece is up to. And then the spontaneity of the recent talk about the debt and how it's going to be handled in Spain. And of course, the leadership is being told thousands must be gotten rid of. There must be giant austerity. Well, that's pretty hard to do in a country where official unemployment is 24%, and for young people, it's over 50%. Whether that'll push them to revolution remains to be seen. So there's a lot of new unanswered questions. And we should mention, which is in today's report, that I think Belgium has been overlooked. We started talking to them about them about 3.5 years ago. I said, they're broke. And they were rescuing two banks, which are controlled, of course, by the royal families of Europe and the Rothschilds. And so they're an addition that's being recognized, let's put it that way. And so with that said, we got plenty of trouble coming in Europe. It'll probably be kicked off next month in Greece France, Holliday. If he wins, which he looks like he will, then that'll be upsetting. And some of you don't know, the Flemish live in the northern part of Belgium. The southern part is Walloons. And the Flemish speak Flemish, and the Walloons speak French. So it's another one of those balkanization deals that was put together years ago. And so I don't, know how it's going to come up, but they're not going to have any meeting of minds on debt. I mean, they're all going under. I mean, it's like stepping to go to some place and draining. And there's all puddles besides the rocks that you got to walk on. And you have to tippy-toe through it. And really, I don't think it's possible. So I see real bad stuff coming.
Well, certainly we have been talking and documenting this precipitous decline in the euro and what has really been the inevitable fall of the euro from all of the different things that we've been talking about over the months. And that narrative is backed up, for example, by reports today that Super Mario Bilderberg insider Mario Draghi, the president of the European Central Bank, is coming out today saying that the euro area is in its most difficult austerity phase and talking about the difficulties that lie ahead. But interestingly enough, it seems that there's a counter-narrative that's developing that seems to go against what we would intuitively believe to be the case from such reports that also came out earlier today. For example, euro gains as dollar eases before Fed. And they're talking about the higher bond yields the lower bond yields in the Eurozone peripheral areas. So, for example, in Spain and Italy and Holland, having lower yields than expected. That's actually propping up the euro in some way that's at least some of the media is trying to focus on right now. And they're trying to create a narrative that a lot of investors who are frustrated with the euro's persistence are now seeking the Canadian dollar and the British pound as potential places to invest when they're looking for turning around their currency dollars. What is with this persistence of the euro despite all of the troubles that we've seen?
Market intervention by the Fed. And the money that's being used to buy the bonds of Italy, Spain, etc., that money is all being lent to the banks in different countries. And they are the ones who are buying the bonds with those funds. Those funds are going to run out. $1.4 trillion, and they should have never gotten the money in the first place, and it came in the form of currency swap, so says the European Central Bank and the Fed. And what they did was not do a currency exchange. They just simply created money out of thin air and lent it to them. They'll probably not get a good part of it back. So, lower yields caused by higher bond prices because the European Central Bank, EFSF, and the different banks within the countries are buying all of those bonds. And so that's why yields have gone down a little bit. It's not going to last.
So it's just a temporary blip on the long road down into the basement. And of course, it's always important to keep in mind that these types of things are all relative. So if the U.S. dollar is itself very weak, then it's not going to necessarily show that difference with a also weak euro.
It's the dollar. They have decided, they who run things from behind the scenes, it's going to stay in the 79-80 era for the time being, and 130-132 for the euro. The Japanese yen you mentioned, the yen is being deliberately devalued against other currencies so they can compete financially. That's been going on for about a month now. So those plans are not anything new. And if you know what they're up to, well, you know what they're up to.
So I know it's not necessarily the best way for people to invest, but if people were interested in holding a currency right now, is there any currency you would recommend over any others?
Well, the Swiss franc, Canadian dollar, Aussie dollar. Those are probably the top ones.
All right, well, let's transition then into a question that we received from a listener regarding something that's actually in today's copy of the International Forecaster. And we have a question from Edward who writes, could Mr. Chapman elaborate on the recent Helix drill result and on the disappointing result in two holes? He touched on it in the Forecaster this morning, but the result and its share price indications are not clear to me. The share price is way down. Does this report change this company to a sell, hold, or continue to buy?
Well, first of all, we got naked shorts all over the stock. And they started working on to knock it down again when the stock was around 73. And the buyers, because I saw this, just, you know, exited. And they wanted it to drop down to 60 cents, which it did. You got to understand that the gold and silver shares, all of them, are under tremendous naked shorting. And the SEC refuses to do anything about it. They've had the information on Helix for 8 months, and it was handed to them on a platter by the company. They just refused to do anything. So, as in many other instances, there is no protection for the public. But that said, missing two holes is nothing unusual. And the remainder of the holes are mineable. They have a mine. Now they'll be drill the other 20 holes, and that should make up a good-sized package. The stock should be purchased because sooner or later those shorts are going to have to cover. And if the second 20 holes come out good to very good, then I would suspect that the public would say, gee, they do have a mine, and then pursue it by purchasing it. I know also that there's a number of smaller companies like Helix who are running into the same problem. Every stock on all the exchanges are being attacked on naked shorts by mainly the hedge funds, many of whom work for the government. They're doing wash trades, which means they're doing a trade that really doesn't exist, although it shows up. They're doing parking. Let's say a company is shorting a stock and they get too much in their box position. So what they'll do is they'll sell the stock to another trader, but there will be no exchange of funds. And they usually hold them there for 3 or 4 days. That's a criminal offense, as is wash trades. And then you got your naked shorting. This is how these are throughout the world, the most incredible markets I've ever seen.
The manipulation,
I mean, all they do
Well, I was going to say the manipulation is off the charts, but naked shorting is a topic that we haven't really specifically covered in our conversations before. Let's talk a little bit about how that is used as a strategy for manipulating these stock prices.
Well, I'll give you a figure. I've been watching the Celex for perhaps 4 years. And we see naked shorting. How do we know that? We know who the buyers and sellers are. We also know the stock positions that they supposedly hold, or the stock that they supposedly borrowed. A great percentage of the people who, probably 99%, of the people who own Helix, they are not on margin. The only time legally that a company can allow its trader to take that stock and hypothecate legally is when it's in a margin account. There just isn't any. So that means that if they're selling stock, they are getting some natural orders. But the main line here is that they get short. And you can't see and understand these situations unless you've been a trader, which I was for 25 years. How short is the short on Helix? Over 10 million shares. How many shares are in the float? 18 million. And except for a million, not even that much, I got a good idea where all the stock is. So that's why I can come up with a figure like that. You know, those kind of figures were given to the SEC. And I'm sure they said, oh, these guys again. Why don't they go away? There's a 10 million short over here and a 30 million short over there. And on and on. That's why the SEC is not doing anything about it. It is so widespread. The criminal behavior is unbelievable. And the hedge funds, the U.S. government, they have an endless amount of money. So all you can do is hope for a change.
Well, that's unfortunately probably true, but it's obviously not a very parsimonious solution as people are out there in the markets trying to do the best they can. But as you say, I mean, it's like playing in a rigged casino. You are going to lose more often than you win by design. What can you say about the type of apathy that a lot of people have for the participating in the markets when they have become so widespread, the manipulation has become so widespread?
Well, it came to light a few years ago. And an awful lot of people left the market. And then we had a tax on major companies at Eco Eagle. At Eco Eagle was $86.50 a share. It's 32 now. It sure doesn't deserve to be there. And so that's the kind of thing that's going on. They're shorting. They occasionally take profits, but I don't see too much of it. Do they have the stock? I don't know. You look at all the stocks and all the exchanges, and it's all the same. Naked shorting.
Well, given the state of the markets today, if you were a trader that was starting off right now, I mean, what would the narrative of your career look like in this case? Obviously, it would be quite different than the young Bob Chapman starting off, you know, six decades ago.
Well, traders usually carry 4 to 20 different stocks. It all depends on what market they're in. And they pick the ones for the short side that they see being manipulated. They see what we can't see because we don't have the telephonic equipment that they're allowed to have, and we can't have it. Nice work if you can get it. And so there has to be a change from the top. That's really the way it has to be. And sooner or later, these suppressed issues, they will have to go higher because people will have to cover. It happens sooner or later. And something sets it off. Every time it gets set off, it's just different. But the people who own good quality issues, gold and silver shares, once the shorts capitulate, which I think they will in time, then I think you will see stocks like Ag Eagle at $500. People forget that in 1978, gold and silver shares were selling at 150 times earnings. Today it's between 5 and 20 times earnings. So that'll give you an idea of the potential on the upside in these stocks.
Pretty staggering to think about, certainly. So the gold and silver markets are still the place to be?
There is no place to go. There just isn't. You have a government that's holding up the New York and other exchanges. And everybody knows it. And all the pros know about the shorts. They either engage with them or stay out of harm's way, one or the other.
Well, on the note of government intervention, I see that you note in your gold, silver, platinum, and palladium update, you say on Tuesday both gold and silver were higher, and they stayed that way until your government capped the market at about plus 10 for gold and 40 cents for silver. So once again, it's always the issue of the government, you know, interventions and how they're playing out in the market.
Oh, Benito Mussolini just loved this.
Corporatism at its finest.
That's right. And no one will say anything. They get cashiered out of the business.
Well, that's right. And there are so few newsletter writers out there who are willing to call the government out on what it's doing, the interventions that are going on, the manipulations. Why is that? I mean, are they just so invested in the system that they're hoping to scrape along and hope that their readers won't notice?
They're arrogant, and they think they are the people who are going to run the world, and that's why they do what they do.
So they think they'll have their fingers on the levers of power so that they can run it for themselves.
That's right.
It's the Ring of Mordor, I guess, and some people quest after it all their lives, but I think it will ultimately consume them. But on that philosophical note, why don't we switch gears a little bit? Let's go to another email from a listener. We have one from Giuseppe, who writes, thank you for your outstanding work. I always listen to Bob Chapman on your report. Those interviews are awesome. Thank you. And he also has a question. I would like to bring to your attention this article, and he has an article linked up from a website that's talking about mass arrests by the U.S. military that are supposedly coming. He writes, it seems that the U.S. military has been moving in past weeks/months to assure that states in the U.S. would regain their sovereignty status. To make things simple, it seems that now the Pentagon could request U.S. Marshals to ask local police in the states to arrest those people, sociopaths, who are responsible for what's happening. If true, this would be good news. They speak about thousands of arrests in the next weeks or months. Could you put a question regarding this point to Bob Chapman this week? So I'm not sure if you've seen... I'm not sure if you've seen this coming out. Recently, it's been making its way around the internet, the blogosphere, quite a bit recently. But basically, there's a story. It's unconfirmed. It's from an anonymous whistleblower who says that there's going to be martial law and military making all of these arrests of the politicians in the next few weeks or months. Have you heard of this story? Do you have any anything to add to it?
I have heard of it. And I always look with a jaundiced eye on opinions of people who won't give their name. And they're obviously hiding something. And I don't know whether that's going to happen, but I don't think so. I think in time it might happen. It all depends on the situation of employment and things like that, being able to feed your family. But when I look and at the news this morning, I see automobile sales are up 18%. And that tells me there's a lot of people happy about what's going on. So I don't think we're at that stage as yet. I don't think we'll see any kind of a bottoming for 2.5 years in the real estate market. Yesterday's report that came out, it was just dreadful. I mean, after all these years of being in the sewer, so to speak, here you are, still in the sewer. But yet, there are still enough of the public maybe making a good living to cross-circuit that. There'll come a time when those kinds of situations will become larger, and yes, maybe they will have trouble with the public, but it's not now.
Well, I hear you on that point, and I tend to agree completely with that assessment. I also have to cast a quizzical eye at these reports that come out of nowhere from people we don't know, that are unsourced and unverifiable, and I trust them about as far as I can throw them, and since they're intangible objects, I would say that's not very far at all. And unfortunately, when you go into this particular story, it's being promoted by a character who believes himself to be Ra, the sun god, and all of this, but for some reason, a lot of his supporters don't seem to find that... questionable. But on an interesting note, we're talking about this question of how to assess unverifiable information from anonymous sources. So for example, in the most recent edition of The Forecaster, you write, a German banker contact informs that as a result of a high-level meeting in Germany that's not in the news, a decision has been made for France to exit the euro currency first. They've been ordered out, and it's regardless of whether Hollande replaces Sarkozy for the president post, etc., etc. This is from a subscriber, obviously. Obviously, this is not your own particular writing, but once again, we have a claim that we can't really assess because it's a secret information. What is your take on this type of information? How do you incorporate these types of leads and tips into your thinking about these types of events?
You have to look at the fundamentals. Does the story fit? In this case, France. It does not even come close to fitting. So I reject that. Now, if they were saying that about Holland, there's a bit of credence there because of what's going on. And maybe there will be. Maybe that's the next target. And you know, a lot of these things that you're seeing on the internet are being done by professionals who are hired by your government to spread chaos, lies, and get away with it.
Unfortunately so. And again, this is not really controversial. We know demonstrably they've done it in the past. I think it would be foolhardy to think that they haven't. They're not doing it now. And for anyone who doesn't know about the history of programs like COINTELPRO, that it's all perfectly documented and has been exposed through congressional testimony. I suggest people take a look at that history, because once again, knowing history helps us to understand what's happening now. So on that note, for example, there are things that are included in the forecaster that not necessarily that you're asking your readers to believe, but that you want people to know about the types of stories and things that are being floated right now.
This banker story of the last year or so, that there's going to be a northern European euro. I lived in those countries, and I understand those people, and I don't see a chance of that. Germany wants her own currency. France, Hollande, what he wants is to get rid of the euro and the EU, and so does Marine Le Pen. And I think that's one of the strong reason that there won't be an immediate move by a major country toward the elimination of the euro. It'll come when it comes. I just don't think they thought they'd have to grapple at this time with the problems that have been recently denoted in Spain. And now, as I mentioned earlier, Belgium, which was a no-brainer over 3 years ago, just like Greece. And so I think it'll be the loss of Greece. And one of the main reasons is it's just buried in debt. There's no way they could come up daily as a country for $6 trillion. Isn't going to happen. So how are we going to phase ourselves out of it? I'll let Greece do it and let the weak ones go, and then we'll throw our hands in the air and say, gee, nothing we could do to stop it.
All right. Well, Bob, we've covered a lot of ground with regard to the euro tonight and talked about gold and silver markets and manipulation. Anything else on your radar that you'd like to bring across to the listeners today?
There's a couple of pieces of legislation out there that are murderous. There's two new ones. One of them would put a 1% tax in all two transactions. The other one would put a, I don't know how to frame this, would allow a government essentially to commandeer anything you have. And I'm concerned about both of them, although I got a letter from a congresswoman, very well-written letter, long letter, not to me, but to her constituent. It's in today's issue. And she doesn't think it'll get passed. Well, that's great. But the very fact that they tried to do it is something to behold.
Well, we have seen so much incredible legislation coming across in recent months and years, and the fact that some of it has been even passed, like the NDAA 2012, which, of course, provides for the U.S. military to arrest U.S. citizens on U.S. soil for any reason whatsoever and lock them away indefinitely. Unthinkable, absolutely unthinkable. Even a few years ago, you would have been laughed off the face of the planet if you had suggested that would happen, and yet it is a reality right now. So I think it certainly is in people's best interest to keep their eyes on these types of bills. And once again, if they're subscribed to the Forecaster, they can get all of the details on this type of legislation. So let's hope it doesn't pass. But of course, it always depends on what people are concerned with and what they occupy their time with. And hopefully it's not dancing with the stars and other meaningless distractions. Hopefully it's keeping their eye on the ball of what's really going on in the world. So on that note, of course, the International Forecaster is a great way to keep your eye on that ball. So let's tell people about the Forecaster and how they can get their hands on a copy.
Well, the International Forecaster is about business, finance, economic, social, political issues. We publish on Wednesday and Saturday. Usually runs 30 to 50 pages each time. And we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month for those of you who are not on the internet. Everything you need to know each week is in that publication. You can get a free introductory copy by going to the International Forecaster.com, the International, FORECASTER.com. If you would like to and have a question answered, or like to get copies of the reports, or if you'd like to get latest recommendations on gold and silver shares, email me at Bob, B-O-B, at INT. FORECASTER.com, Bob at intforecaster.com. And for those of you who would like to call in toll free, 877-479-8178. And if you'd like to become a subscriber, they have an offer there, free one-year subscription. If you're gonna subscribe, that's the way to do it. So contact that number, and if you want to be a subscriber, that's the easy way.
The easy way indeed. Well, on that note, Bob Chapman, always a pleasure and always an honor to have you here on the program. So until next week, I'm looking forward to it. Take care.
Well, thank you very much.